Heavenly Father, we're gathered here this morning because, like the music says, we do just want to thank you and to praise you and to serve you. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would stir our hearts, draw us closer to each other and closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
About that.
Worship folder is a litany of confession. I invite you to join with us as we read together responsibly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of God's hands. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Their sound has gone out into all the lands and a message to the end of the world. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent.
We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbors, and your law clearly shows us our sinfulness. Revive our souls once again. Show us anew your paths of love, peace, and justice.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Away from you and from each other. Be
You may be seated. Would the children please come down?
Hey, Joshua. Shake your head at me. Good morning. How are you? All right, I want you to stand up. Bailey, I want you to turn around. You all see? Do you see what these two have got on? Look at this. What have they got on? Red. Why do you have red on? You don't know. Do you know why you have red on?
Because Valentine's
Day. That's right. Tuesday is Valentine's Day. Don't know if you knew that or not, but you can sit down now. That's okay. You can sit down. Such a guy. Right. All right. Tuesday is Valentine's Day. So have you bought a Valentine for a special person? Yeah. You want to tell me about it?
No.
Have you decided which one of your two you're going to buy a Valentine for? No. Let's hear. She's got two, and she can't decide which one she wants to buy a Valentine for. That's pretty bad when she's already in kindergarten, isn't it? All right, so yes, on Valentine's Day, we do buy Valentines or we do something special. Sometimes it's just a plain little old paper Valentine. Sometimes it's a Valentine with candy. Sometimes flowers, right? But you know, the most beautiful Valentine that anybody could ever receive was the cross. And Keith was showing some beautiful pictures before church that actually showed that Valentine, because the greatest Valentine that was ever given to us was Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth, didn't bring us flowers, he didn't bring us candy, he didn't even bring us a paper Valentine, but he gave us his life so that we could have eternal life with him. The Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He died on the cross. So Jesus has a Valentine for each one of you, and it's not, like I said, it's not paper, it's not candy, it's not flowers. But what it is that he wants you to give your life, give your heart for him and to serve him. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can celebrate a day like Valentine's Day and we can honor those people that are special to us. But Lord, we thank you most of all for the Valentine that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that there will be a day when we will all be truly disciples of you, Lord, and not just think about the world, but think about those things eternal. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Okay, thank you. Keith, did you want to share that one with you? I didn't bring the note in. Thank you. David?
My wife's not with me this morning. She's just a little ill. She's got an interview thing going on. She'll go out sometime tomorrow. She's got a test at the ENT where they put people on the register.
Virtual reality? Thank you. Okay, Miss Wanda is in hopes to get to come home Friday, but she doesn't know for sure yet. But do keep her in your prayers. She's got a doctor's visit the next week, so be praying for her. She's ready to come home, and then some, but do remember her in your prayers. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for your wonderful love for each one of us. Remind us, Lord, that if no one else had needed to be saved, you would have still sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us, to die on Calvary's cross, and to rise again. Remind us of the words of that song that said, "We were on his mind when he was on the cross," because each one of us are very precious to you. Lord, you've given each one of us gifts with which we could help to change our world. We pray that you would remind us of this. Help us, Lord, that we might take what gifts we do have and use them to your honor and glory. We pray this morning that you'd be with those who are in hospitals and assisted living, nursing homes, hospice. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each one of them, those who are going through tests, those who are recuperating, going through rehab. Lift them up, Lord. May they feel your presence. We pray today that you'd be with those who are going through relationship issues. We pray that you would give them strength of mind and heart that they might be able to draw closer to each other and closer to you. Be with those, Lord, this morning who are going through times of uncertainty financially. They're unemployed or they're underemployed. Those who need to know that the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is watching over them and will provide for their needs according to his riches and glory. We pray today, Lord, that you would be with our leaders in Nashville, in Washington, and around the world. These are tumultuous times, Lord. And much of it is our own doing. We just pray that you would be with those who are in positions of power. Guide them and direct them, Lord. Show them your will. Show them the things that they might do to help to build your kingdom here. We pray, Lord, that you would help us that we might support our leaders. Lord, we don't necessarily have to like them, but they are our brothers and sisters, so we have to love them. Help us that we might support our leaders in prayer. If we like them, we need to pray for them. If we don't like them, we need to pray for them even more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have the blessing of being able to live in this great nation of ours. We pray that you would remind us that we are where we are and who we are because we were founded as one nation under God. Help us that we might be indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Meet with us now in these moments here, Lord. Oh, it's a little bit cool in the sanctuary this morning, but remind us that there are people meeting and worshiping you in conditions so much far removed from the luxuries that we enjoy here this morning. Remind us of our brothers and sisters around the globe and all that are suffering. Help us that we might give you praise for your goodness and your grace. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful gifts to us. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified.
remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. During the Civil War, a teenage boy joined the Union Army. During his first battle, he became terrified and ran away. He was caught, tried, and found guilty of desertion. He was sentenced to be shot by a firing squad. His parents wrote a letter to President Lincoln pleading for a pardon for their young son. The president checked into the facts of the case, overruled the death sentence, and gave the boy a full presidential pardon. In his official statement, he wrote, "Over the years, I have observed that it does not do a boy much good to shoot him." Several months later, as the war was coming to a close, and it was obvious that the Union troops were going to be victorious, someone asked Lincoln how he would treat the Southerners after the war. His reply, like they had never been away. The questioner asked, "But aren't we supposed to destroy our enemies?" To which Lincoln replied, "Don't we destroy our enemies when we make them our friends?" This is perhaps one of the easier beatitudes for us to be able to understand. Mercy paints a beautiful picture. We can agree on this one. When Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," he was talking about a spiritual maturity. In Luke 6, Jesus tells us to show mercy the same way that God shows mercy. In the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells a story about a man who owed his king $10 million. He couldn't pay it. He begged the king for mercy. The king forgave the entire debt. On the way out the door, the servant saw another servant who owed him $20. He grabbed the man by the throat and demanded his money. The second servant could not pay, and he begged for mercy. The servant who had just had this enormous debt forgiven him refused and had the man thrown in prison. When the king heard about the unforgiving servant, he was furious and had him thrown in prison until his entire debt was paid. Through Jesus Christ, God has forgiven each one of us of the debt of sin. Because God is quick to show mercy or forgiveness, God expects the same of us as well. Let me share with you the key ingredients of mercy. One of the key ingredients of mercy is empathy. Being able to identify with another person's feelings, thoughts, and experiences. Being able to see with their eyes and to feel with their hearts, to think with their minds. Being able to walk in their moccasins, if you please, to feel their pain. number of years ago in Chicago, a 15-year-old boy named Douglas became very sick. He had a temperature of 105 degrees. He was rushed to the hospital. They ran numerous tests on him. And the diagnosis was that he had leukemia. The doctors were frank as they told him and his parents that at best he was facing a long hospital stay, lots of tests, and at least 3 years of chemotherapy. Douglas became discouraged. In fact, he was on the verge of giving up. His parents contacted a local flower shop and requested a beautiful, bright arrangement of flowers, and then they explained their son's condition to the person on the other end of the line. They wanted to try to cheer him up a little bit. When the flowers were delivered to his room, there were two cards in the arrangement. One card was from his parents. The second card said, "My name is Laura Bradley. I took the order for the flowers. I work at the flower shop. I had leukemia when I was 7. I'm 22 now. My thoughts and prayers are with you. Good luck." For the first time in days, Douglas cheered up and began to think that maybe he too had a chance of beating this dreaded disease. A writer for the Chicago Tribune followed up on the story and interviewed Laura. She said, "When they told me that he had leukemia, tears came to my eyes. It reminded me of when I first learned that I had it. I realized what he must be going through. So I wrote the card and slipped it into the envelope. I haven't been on the job very long, and I was afraid that I might get into trouble." In the newspaper column, the writer went on to say that millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment in the world, with hundreds of years of combined training and experience, yet it was a sales clerk making $5 an hour who, by taking time to show empathy, made the difference. She gave hope that no one else or nothing else could. We have a merciful and empathetic God who wants us to be a merciful and empathetic people. The second key ingredient of mercy is generosity. Someone has rightly said that we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. A young girl was in a mental hospital near Boston. She was known only as Little Annie. The doctor said she was hopelessly insane. She was kept locked in a small dungeon-like cage with very little light and even less hope. An elderly nurse who was nearing retirement felt there was hope for all of God's children. So she decided that she was going to try to help Little Annie. She began by eating her lunch outside Annie's cage every day, trying to show love and accept the young girl. Sometimes Annie was like a wild animal and tried to attack anyone who came near her cage. At other times, she ignored everybody. One day, the nurse brought in some brownies and left them just outside the cage, but within reach. The next day, she brought in more brownies. And then after that, each day, she would bring in brownies or some other kind of treat and leave them there. Before long, Annie began to talk to the nurse, and they became friends. The doctors noticed a remarkable change in Annie. They moved her upstairs and began to work with her. Over time, she became totally well. This hopeless case was completely whole and sane. When the doctors told her that she could go home, she refused. She wanted to stay and help others. Eventually, she did leave. But the reason that she left was to help another little girl who was both deaf and blind. That little girl's name was Helen Keller. Little Annie's real full name was Ann Sullivan. And now you know the rest of the story. History records the difference that was made because one elderly nurse showed mercy and generosity. The third key ingredient is forgiveness. How often, including this morning, have we dared to pray, God, I want you to forgive me the same way I forgive others? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What if God answers that prayer? Folks, that's dangerous praying. God, if I don't forgive, I don't want you to forgive me. In reality, God can't forgive us if we don't forgive others. A number of years ago, in New England, a woman became angry with her pastor. Now, that's hard for me to understand. As sweet and lovable as most of us are, you know, under this rough, calloused exterior, we're just big old teddy bears. But she did. She became angry with her pastor, and she began a campaign against him, including gossip and accusations and bitter letters and false rumors and threats. Months later, she moved. Hallelujah. And shortly after, she gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Now, with that tender heart within her, she realized all of the pain and suffering and embarrassment that she had caused. And she realized that part of her conversion was going to be in seeking to right the wrong. She wrote a long letter to the pastor, begging for his forgiveness. A few days later, she received a telegram from the pastor with just three words. But three words that lifted a burden from her heart. Those three words were forgiven, forgotten, forever. Shortly after Catherine and I were married, I received a phone call one evening. The individual on the other end of the line gave his name and he says, I don't know if you remember me or not. I remembered him. He was one of my former members. Seven or eight years before, and hundreds of miles away. He said, God put me under conviction for the way I treated you as my pastor. He said, I am so very sorry. Will you forgive me? I told him, I already have. But you don't know how much I appreciate your phone call and how much that means to me. Merciful people are quick to forgive. A Christmas card put it this way. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an accountant. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a Savior who came to forgive us and now sends us out to be His agents of forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful. Those who live lives of empathy, generosity, and forgiveness. One of the translations says, how near to the heart of God are those who perceive God's mercy, accept God's mercy in faith, and pass God's mercy on to others. Blessed are you. Near to the heart of God are you. If you are people of mercy, let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this summer-like day in the middle of February, we give you thanks and praise for your love and for your grace and for your mercy. We pray now that you would help us, that we might reach out to share that love and mercy and grace with others, with all others. It doesn't matter about race. It doesn't matter about politics. It doesn't matter about geography, whether we're talking about the Mason-Dixon line or which continent we're talking about. It doesn't even matter about religion. Lord, whether they're Buddhist, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Baptist, no matter who they are, they're your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can all gather at the foot of the cross as brothers and sisters. Go with us now, that we might be your ambassadors of mercy. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Freely, Freely.
Now may you indeed leave this place in Jesus' name, going out into a world that's dying to know that somebody loves and cares for them, even as Jesus loves and cares for us. Go now in the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.